Let it be known that in the spring of this year, 2017, in the spirit of community and friendly competition, in pursuit of well-being in body, mind, and soul, the good people of New Orleans do form a union and league among those who share love for the great game of baseball. Played in the streets and grass and dirt of this Crescent City for at least 156 years, baseball, as of late a spectator sport, is a game meant to be lived and breathed by the people. For unknown and insidious reasons, it has been accepted as a given that when men reach a certain age, and women for their entire life, baseball would become somehow out of reach, that the joy of taking to the field and playing hardball was only for professionals, for youth, for watching only. We reject this notion. We will gather on Sunday afternoons when the sun is high in the sky to play the game the way it was meant to be played. Nine to a side, we will throw and catch and swing and run, pitchers and catchers and fielders and hitters and umpires calling strikes and balls. Win or lose, we will build camaraderie and shared purpose out there on the field, ready for the next pitch, waiting for the ball to be hit our way. We will cheer and challenge our teammates and congratulate our opponents on their best efforts. The People's Baseball League is open to women and men of one like-minded pursuit to embrace and do honor to the ancient and noble game of baseball.
You are listening to Pitch Sequence, a podcast of the People's Baseball League recorded in the historic 7th Ward of New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm your host, Adam Cronenberg, Comandante. Our fourth episode, The Manifesto, comes in two parts. We led the show with a reading of the manifesto by its author, Gabriel Goldstein. He wrote the manifesto in the spring of 2017, when our league was in its infant stage, with an uncertain future. At the time, we were attempting to form a league with four teams. We had only been playing pickup games at this point. The manifesto is inspiring, ambitious, difficult to live up to. Soon after Gabriel wrote the manifesto, he left the city of New Orleans and the country for a two-year cattywampus to South America. A cattywampus, for those of you who don't know, is when one travels with purpose to an unknown destination. He has written a travel blog documenting his travels titled The Great Southern Migration. In fact, he's still writing it, although he has since returned to America, the United States, I should say. And for a brief time in the fall of 2019, he came back to the People's Baseball League. After not being around the league for 2 years, I decided to ask Gabriel, how is the league doing? Are we living up to the manifesto? But first, Gabriel, what inspired you to write the manifesto?
Partly it was out of inspiring people. That was part of the impetus for it. We were in this world in winter 2017 where a lot of people were saying we couldn't do what we were trying to do about just having a league to play baseball. Yeah. You know, it had been proven more or less that there could be a game, but in terms of having a league, having enough people to field four teams, there was a lot of people saying, even up to the point where we did, you know, the days before our first draft, people were saying that we couldn't do it.
Wow, so, right, yeah.
So it is in that mindset of sort of trying to inspire everyone involved to take heart. But then beyond that, I don't know. I felt like we all needed to do our part to make it happen. And one of the things that I can do is write. And so I felt like I needed to write something that would be inspiring. And also I wanted to sort of set a mission statement for the league.
Yeah.
And do it not necessarily overtly, but to just put my mark on what I thought it should be. And it was very much out of, I don't feel like I was speaking to something that was different than what we all had in mind, but to be able to put it into words and put it concisely.
Yeah.
And I want, the reason I called it a manifesto and that I felt like that maybe it needed to be a manifesto is that in some level what we were trying to do was something radical.
Mm-hmm.
Something that was against the current of normal societal life.
Right.
So one part of that is just this idea of that in New Orleans, people would rally behind a baseball league and want to play baseball. You know, we'd also been always fighting against this thing that New Orleans is not a baseball town.
Right.
So that was part of it. Just the idea of people playing baseball in New Orleans. It was radical.
Yeah.
The idea that adults were playing baseball. I mean, you and I both know that this has happened in some places. In the Bay Area, for instance, they had a baseball league. But for the most part in the United States, adults don't play baseball.
Right.
And then the next step of it was that I've never understood why women can't play baseball. They definitely used to. There's no reason that women shouldn't come play baseball with us. And
yeah,
they're certainly very effective softball players. So,
yeah. It's interesting you mentioned the timeline. I'd forgotten that specific moment when you wrote it, that in our trajectory, we had been playing pickup games for, I don't know, a year at that point.
Yep. Yep.
And you're right. There was a contingency of people who thought, like, that's it. That's all we could do. We could just do these pickup games, and that's fine. But to try to do more would fail. And
right.
That's one of the things I like about the manifesto, is that it's, like, ambitious, and it's something to live up to. And you also reminded me of the draft. That draft night, we almost totally went back to that instead of having four teams, which we end up doing, having four teams. And that'll be a whole other episode, I'm realizing. But, yeah, on draft night, we didn't have enough for four teams, and we just decided that we're going to go for it and hope that people filled the void. And fortunately, it worked out. But, yeah, there was a lot of, I don't know.
Yeah, there was a lot of doubt. And I understand why there was doubt, because – so I hadn't been there for the year previous when you guys had been doing pickup games, but I was there before that when you and I had been trying to get a single game of baseball together for some years and couldn't get just one time, one game of 18 people. We never did it. And so I understand why there was doubt. And yet I remember on that draft night, there was a big call to make it just two teams, to start with two teams.
That would just play each other each week, right?
Yeah, so I understood the concern, and I thought we could do better. I thought we could do this. And so this, in some ways, I felt like this was a radical proposition. And then beyond that, I wanted it to be something different. I wanted it to be something that was – really for the people and about community and about bringing people together in a way that's what sports aspire to, but it isn't always that. And so I thought, given that this is kind of radical, that this should be a manifesto, that this should be something like when you hear the word manifesto, you hear it, so like that's something about like a revolution or an uprising or something like that. And I wanted that to be part of it. So
cool,
I felt like calling it like mission statement isn't quite the same. And also that this isn't exactly a mission statement. A manifesto is something a little more literary.
Right.
Where mission statement's a little more just sort of technical.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the origin of the manifesto. And then I guess I want to get a little bit into your experience in the league. So you were were you drafted onto the Creek Street Riot, or were you a coach?
No, I was a coach. So I was.
You're a coach.
Grandfather.
Okay. So you're already. Creek Street Riot. You're on the Creek Street Riot from the beginning, And then how many you played one season?
You know, I didn't even make it through the whole season.
Oh, wow.
I made it into, I left in early June.
Okay, so you played part of one season, which actually now would be a whole season.
Right. I made it through like what would have been a spring season when, and sure it was 10 games.
Yeah.
Because it was about April 1st to mid-June, and then I left for some weeks, and I came back and played one more game in late July.
Okay.
And then I left the country for 2 years. So I left the league and everything about the United States. I left it behind.
Right.
And came back about halfway through the fall season of 2019. So it really interesting experience for me to leave the league in sort of a fledgling state. It was clear to me when I left that it was going to make it, at least like for that season and for with at that size with the four teams. There was enough enthusiasm, there was enough buy-in that that was gonna make it. And then to come back and see that it was seven teams. There's a lot more people on each roster. When I left, there were four teams, but it was often the case that there wouldn't be nine full players for each team. And so
Right, and yeah, those times too. That's when we had our baseball nuts, Heath and Ben Hickey and John Kay, and people who knew that they could just show up to other people's games and get in and play. And we needed those people. Otherwise, those games, many of them wouldn't have happened. But yeah, that really has gone away, which is amazing. I used to get a lot of anxiety about that the night before, and
Right.
but yeah, the attendance is amazing.
As a coach, trying to scour the roster to make sure you're going to get nine, make sure you're going
Right.
to get seven, and worrying about this player who's going to show up, your seventh player was going to show up an hour late because they were working or something,
Right.
and but it was there weren't that many forfeits, and we were pretty loose on that rule at that point, but there weren't that many forfeits, and we find a way to make it happen. To coming back and there's people sitting on the bench.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's like full teams, and just in so many ways to see how it's changed. Just a physical level, the amount of people involved, tremendous difference.
Yeah.
The level of organization of the league, the quality of gear, all these things were much improved. The location,
Right.
the fact that we had been playing on fields that weren't really totally set up for baseball, that had a backstop, but not much more. Versus that Perry Rome Field, which is, I'm very impressive with bleachers and just all the energy that people were putting into the league,
Yeah.
in terms of the people behind the scenes and the people coming out to play, just a large amount of human energy going into it.
Cool. Yeah.
And yeah, just a whole different level, the whole thing, on that in terms of that physical level.
Great. Any other observations before of the before and after?
Well, the sort of the I'm not sure how exactly to categorize it, but the baseball was quite different.
Yeah.
The quality of baseball had gone up immensely. So, yeah, the level of pitching, the level of the people being able to hit that pitching,
Yeah.
the quality of fielding, it had gone from sort of a lot of bad news bears type stuff to a really very presentable level of baseball, in some
Right.
ways, in terms of like something to watch. It's a much more streamlined, coherent product of baseball.
Yeah, from what I remember when you left in those early stages of the league, there was really only one criteria to be a pitcher, and that's that you could throw a strike.
Right, right.
And that's we've sort of moved on from that. Can you throw strikes, and what can you do with those strikes? Sort of pitching now, and that's just a big difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, the quality of the game had changed a ton. But with that came something that I also noticed that was quite different, which is sort of the spirit of the league.
Yeah.
I think these things go hand in hand, and I'm not sure how, if we want to go into that now or.
It totally goes hand in hand. And my next question, I think, is exactly where we're headed, was how are we doing with the manifesto? Are we living up to it? And not that we are necessarily living up to it as it was written when you wrote it, but just sort of a check-in on how are we doing right now with what's in the manifesto and your thoughts.
Yep. So I have a couple of minds about this, and this is a lot about what I was going through when I came back and rejoined the league. So I'll first say it's just thrilled to be able to come back and have the league still going, just going at all.
Yeah.
The fact that I could say that it was thriving in terms of just buy-in and enthusiasm and how well it was doing was a bonus. I was just really hoping that when I came back to the country and came back to New Orleans, there would be baseball games. And so that was great. It's also really very encouraging to me to see how into baseball people are.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of what the spirit of the manifesto was, is about the love of baseball and about just people being really, really stoked to play baseball. So that was all there. There's another side, though, that was a little harder for me to deal with. And my main response to this side, I'll try to summarize it by just saying, and this is something that you and I were talking about from the beginning. This is always a consideration and concern we had, is about the balance between competition and the joy of the game.
Right.
Something that's connected to that about the joy of the game is sort of that it's open to people to play baseball. And those things, the level of competition and the joy of baseball and how open it is to the people of New Orleans, those things are all connected. And so this is something that balance changed while I was gone. And my reaction to it was mostly like, well, you went away. You left this thing. And I was mostly just happy that it still existed, that it was still ongoing. And I didn't feel like I had a place really to be critical of it. The balance has really swung, along with what I just referred to before about the quality of the game, the on-field product going way up. It's also really swung towards competition and the level of competition versus the joy of the game and the openness to the game of the game to the people of New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot going on there. So it's like, how did we get more competitive? I think one part of it is the people that were playing originally in our league had now been playing for 2 or 3 years and had gotten in touch with their 14-year-old baseball selves, and their skills improved a lot just in those 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
And then that also just coincided with people who were more skilled, and maybe closer to high school or not, and just a general level of skill that was coming into the league. And as a result, you had a what I think is a better baseball game, but also a much more competitive game. But in that also is that it then excludes people from wanting to play.
Yep. Right. This is all the dynamic. And so I have a few minds about this. Like in the manifesto, I talk about, you know, people who want to do honor to the game. And I feel like that's multifaceted thing. I think that something about respecting the game means that you practice, that you take seriously, like that like if you're unprepared, and your team hasn't practiced and you're not taking it seriously and your pitcher's working hard but you can't feel the fly ball, then that's not necessarily giving respect to the game.
Yeah.
And that I think that on the other end of the spectrum about having really very little competition, like no one really cares, I don't think that really work. That doesn't work. And so I think it's healthy to have some level of competition and I think it's great that people have improved their skills. Obviously, a lot of that's through work. Part of it, like you said, is who has joined the league. But part of it is that people have been practicing and putting effort into the game. So this is not an easy balance to achieve. But but I think it's only possible to achieve that balance if it's something that's on people's minds and if it's something that is a goal that people are striving for. And I kind of feel like in those 2 years I was gone, that mm-hmm. has become a really low level priority for the league.
Mm-hmm.
Is finding that balance. I mean, for one example, we talked about right at the beginning, we expressly instructed people that when they were pitching, that they should pitch to the level of the hitter.
Yeah.
That the point was not to strike a bunch of people out, but rather to put the ball and let them put the ball in play and experiencing game of baseball. Because just going up there and striking out, you're not really experiencing the game.
But striking out is part of the game.
Well, sure. Of course, it's part of
the
game.
Yeah, I hear that. We did try that, but I have to say, in practice, that is so difficult to do. I think people have done it successfully. And mm-hmm. what I've found, though, is that people will do that up until the point when their team's losing.
Mm-hmm.
And if their team's losing, this goes back to the competition part. Once their team's losing, then they're not going to pitch to contact anymore.
Right.
And,
well, but that thing that you're saying, that's a balance. And they're taking multiple factors into play, and it's there's some give and take. And I think that's fun. And, of course, that's going to happen. And I think that there are some pitchers in the league who probably still do this. But I think that that you're only going to get this balance if people want it, if it's a priority.
Yeah, agreed. I think on a personal level for me, like when I was commissioner, comandante of the league, I felt like it was best for the league if we had that mindset of pitching to contact, so that it would be more inclusive to people. But on a personal level, as a player of baseball, I loved that it got more competitive and that
mm-hmm.
the quality of the games increased. It was, for me as a player, it was more fun
mm-hmm.
to play a game like that, to play a closer game that required a little bit more skill. And that's just a me thing. So, yeah, I think that balance, and the hard thing about that balance is like it's, we're trying to put it into words, but it's really a feeling. And like a lot of people came to the league because they felt that it wasn't that competitive and people weren't taking themselves that seriously for the most part. And I think that's a gauge that I look for is like, how serious are people taking themselves? And for the people who are taking themselves too seriously, do they stand out? And as long as they stand out, then I think we're still like in a good place. But when that starts to become more common or even a norm, then we're in trouble. Then we're not doing what we set out to be.
Right. And And I think that's still a great way to approach it. Beyond the level of competition, which I feel like competition is a little more nuanced, this question of competition versus the love of the game. It's really intangible kind of thing. Just like the idea of pitching to the level of the hitter, that's a really intangible thing. But when you're talking about, are people yelling at the umpires? Are they like essentially like abusing the umpires, people who are other volunteers? Yes. Are people, you know, yelling? Are we bringing like negative energy, the sort of like the product of the sort of like the toxic masculinity aspect of sports? Are people like being ugly to people on their own team when they make a mistake? Yeah. You know, so those things, I feel like that's not intangible. That's like a pretty clear over the line thing.
And all those things you mentioned, I've seen in our league.
Right.
I wouldn't say that they're a norm, but they stand out to me.
Right. In my experience coming back, I don't feel like that's the standard, but I feel like that's you'd see that in the majority of games. You'd see some of that.
Absolutely, yeah, and I mean that's a whole other topic, but yeah, people don't want to because of that,
right?
And like that, you're doing a service to the league, which everyone should do, ump one game, people feel that heat in one time, and it's not fun. Regardless of how many beers you're drinking out there. So I'll ask you a question. Let's say you mentioned doing honor to the game, right? That's in the manifesto.
Right.
All right. Let's say your team is down 3-2 and it's like the eighth inning and you're the pitcher and you're a really good pitcher, or it could be another pitcher, whatever. But the pitcher is really good and there's not a very good hitter up. And is it honorable to the game to try to get that out, make sure you get that out so that your team has a chance to come back and try to come back in the game, or to pitch to contact for that hitter?
That's a great question. You really sort of put it all in a nutshell. So right now I'm pretty far from the league. I'm 1,000 miles away, and this season is postponed indefinitely. It's very unlikely that I'm going to play this season. I don't have that burning competitive fire right now. So I have a little bit of a move to sit back and say, so this person is a contact hitter. Also, you didn't say, hey, what's the situation? Are the bases empty?
Average speed runner on first, and we got one out.
Yeah. So from this position of remove, it's easy for me to say, because this is not a great hitter. It's not someone who's going to hit a double and, you know, who's going to hit a home run or something. Pitch to contact.
Yeah.
Let your fielders play baseball, like trying to strike that person out I'm assuming this is like a beginner of baseball. Trying to strike them out, I don't think does honor to the game. But that's from 1,000 miles away with the season postponed. It's easy for me to see how a pitcher who has a ton of respect for this idea of competitive balance, or the balance between competition and the love of the game, would want to strike this person out. It's really easy for me to see. You hit the nail on the head in terms of if the pitchers do want to strike that person out, then what have we sort of like? Then what have we lost? What's lost in that situation? I think it's you have to kind of step back from that scenario a little bit to really to see the whole ramifications of it. And this person's already playing in the league. This theoretical person who's not very good.
Yeah.
So at least they felt comfortable joining. But
right.
part of the question for me is who stopped playing in the league because of
yes.
this change? Who
yes.
didn't join the league in the first place because of this?
Right. And that's a good segue because that's happening now. People are hearing about the league, hearing that it's inclusive, coming out and watching a couple innings and thinking, oh, no, like this is too much, too competitive. That's not what I thought it was going to be. And they don't join the league, or people who were playing previously who got too competitive and left.
Right. And one of those aspects about the people who have left or haven't joined is expressly in the manifesto about women playing baseball. And my belief that baseball is a game that women should play, that's good for the game of baseball. It's not
right.
just good for women, but it's good for everybody. And that because, you know, I have an incredible love for the game. Just for me, like, and I don't know how much this is shared across the league. I know everyone feels part of it, but for me, I'm just delighted to be out there playing outfield, to be ready for a ball to be hit my way. I just that feeling of just being out there with a glove, ready to hunt down a ball. That's like one of the joys of my life. So
absolutely.
I get such pleasure in that, and just going and just getting to go through this dance, this sort of like ceremony of playing baseball, that I don't think I care as much as everyone else about winning or losing every game. I certainly want to win. It's much more fun to win than to lose. But anyway, I'm getting off point. That I take such love in taking part in that ritual that it makes me sad that half the population of this country doesn't get to do that. And sure, they can play softball, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
And so I think that probably one of the places that has the biggest ramifications, this balance of joy of the game versus competition, is that we're definitely not creating an environment where women feel comfortable or want to be. There are women that are part of it, but some of the women who started out 2.5 years ago, who were like part of the founders of the league, don't play anymore.
Right.
And so
it's too competitive,
and that's a loss to me.
And that's definitely
straying from the original mission a little bit. And so yeah, it's this question of yeah, like so we have a better product in the field. I love that too. I prefer to play in clean baseball, but it's also a totally male dominated thing, and it's. There's the fun of the competition, but in terms of in general, the purpose, the intent of the league is nowhere near as focused on the joy of the game as it used to be.
Okay, so where we left off, as you said, the league's not fun anymore. You said there's less joy than what you had seen before you left on your travels, and some thoughts I had about that is we do have sort of the original feeling of a game. I feel it and see it out at our like spring training games, where it's just everyone just showing up and sort of playing this pickup game, and everyone's on different teams than they normally would be, and definitely our gala game. Where we wear costumes, and if you've ever been to that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's a little bit, but I guess I'm sort of thinking we've identified the problem. I'm sort of thinking of a solution. That, would you recommend that we play just a pickup game each week where anyone could show up?
You know, I think that would be a good thing. I don't know if that's necessarily the solution to the problem we're talking about. But I think that would be a great thing to have. Especially for people who would like to play baseball, sort of like an entry point into the league.
Yeah.
but who aren't ready for high level competition. But the
right.
the reason why I say that it doesn't necessarily address the problem is that there's not necessarily that balance. The balance goes completely out of whack the other direction. Whereas if no one cares about the score of the game, it's like something about the competition keeps the game honest and keeps
exactly,
people
yeah.
keeps people trying. And you know, for me, like I had a hard time with the Gala game. I played, this is my first Gala game this year. And
yeah.
you probably remember and probably other people remember that I actually kind of lost my shit in the Gala game because people were trying to use this waterlogged baseball, this dead baseball with the cover coming off. And I felt like that wasn't respect to the game. That was making a joke out of the game.
Yeah.
And you know, probably that was misplaced to protest that in the Gala game, but I kind of couldn't help myself. You know, on some level, I'm kind of a baseball purist. Like, I really want both things. I want people to care about the game, care about whether the team wins or loses, but to keep that in perspective, that in the bigger picture, that really, really doesn't matter. The thing that matters most to me is that that this is a positive experience, that this is a place where people can this shouldn't be a place that's creating stress for people or creating
right.
bad feelings. This should be
yeah.
a place that's a joy, that should be like part of your week where you can just have a blast. And have a blast in playing baseball and respecting the game. I want it all.
Yeah, I think it is that for a lot of people. I think, like, still as it is right now, and I think the joy competition balance is different for everyone. Everyone has like a different.
Right.
I don't know.
Right, I agree with
seesaw,
you.
Like, yeah, and so, and I think that's. Yeah, so, like, for you and me a little bit, too, like, it's not entirely balanced right now. But for a lot of people, it's right, like, in this really sweet spot. So
right, and I understand that. And I can see that when I came back after 2 years, I could see that there's a great love of baseball. And that's what is bringing people out.
Yeah.
That's these people, that's what makes me feel thrilled about the league, is that you've got over 100 people who love the game of baseball and want to be out there and want to play.
Yeah.
So
yeah, totally. Totally.
That's
something to celebrate.
That's
yeah.
clear to me. So, but the yeah. question is, when you look at who those people are, and so we do have this place where it spills over and we have negative behavior. And I don't think anyone likes that.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see the league do more just to ostracize that, make that unacceptable.
Yeah. And you would like that, like specific examples you gave earlier were how umpires are treated and even some people on their own teams, like when someone makes a mistake.
Yeah. And people, you know, in the spirit of competition, you know, it's natural this happens, but people, you know, lashing out at players and other teams, just to sort of like, it's exactly what I call toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
And where like semi-abusive behavior, stuff that just,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't want any part of, it shouldn't have any place in this league. It's not like that. I don't know. So,
yeah.
So there's that side. So that's a sort of different topic, but then there's a question of who is the league and, what I'd say is we have a league of white males in their 20s and early 30s.
Absolutely, yeah.
And there's exceptions to that, but that's primarily who it is.
Yeah.
And I think and these are a lot of people who previously played baseball.
Right.
And that's great. I'm thrilled that these people have a place to play baseball. That's, you know, that's part of what this is for. People who played before, to give them a chance to get back on the field again. But then beyond that, to making the game open. Like, I really believe in the game of baseball beyond the people who are sort of designated by society to play, which is pretty, for the most part, in the U.S., it's white males. And that opening the game up beyond that, like, that this isn't, that I don't want to just have it be a refuge for like former baseball players, like a sanctuary for former baseball players, but actually open it up, make it part of the community, make it a place that people can play baseball who never played before. And have it be a place that's actually reflective of the people of New Orleans. And that when you start to look at it in terms of this is something for the people of New Orleans, the majority of the people from New Orleans aren't getting this and don't feel welcome. It's not for them.
Yeah. This league. But people are playing baseball like things like variations. I mean, it's soft, hard, overhand pitch softball. And there are the other leagues out there. So people are playing, just not necessarily in the People's Baseball League.
Right.
And yeah, the People's Baseball League is, and also I mentioned, you helped come up with the name of the league, the People's Baseball League. And it's equally, like, it's also ambitious and for the people, as exactly what we're talking about right now. But in fact, I don't know the exact numbers, but I'm pretty sure it's over 90% male white. And I said it before, I just feel like we can do better, but I also think about, like, how and why. And it's because one of the reasons is that these leagues already existed, specifically the Jungle Ball League, which is mostly African-American. It's been here for a long time. And there's a Latin American softball game that we know of that's happening as well. And we've had a scrimmage with the Jungle Ball League, and we've tried to invite them into our league. And but part of me is like, why are we asking them to join our league that we just started? And maybe that's not the appropriate question, as opposed to asking to join their league. Or I don't really have a good answer for that.
Right. So I think there's nothing at all wrong with reaching out to people and making them feel welcome and inviting them in. To expect them to do it is different. And, you know, for me, in terms of wanting to join other leagues, part of it is that I want to play baseball. And there is another league. I don't know much about it. You probably know more than I do. There's another league that's playing baseball in New Orleans.
It's ultra competitive.
Yeah, but that's even farther down the line of that, like, the emphasis on competition versus the love of the game.
Exactly. But also we'll go back to the balance. For the people that are playing in those leagues, I think their balance is different.
Right. It's sort of what they want. So that's one question is, like, you know, I don't know a ton about the league, but if there already is a league like that, is that where we want the league to go? Is that where we're headed, is just to make another league like that, that's ultra competitive? Because if you look at sort of the trajectory, that's where it's going.
Yeah. I'm hoping that this is it. Like, we've reached the peak of competition. Like, that this is it. Maybe even regress it a little bit. But you're right. If it continues on that trajectory, then, yeah, we're losing it.
We just essentially created a different league of the same thing that already existed.
I think through this conversation, what I'm realizing is that in 2016, when the league started, there was a void of a place for white males to play baseball in New Orleans. That was a void. And we have filled that, but we also want to do better than that. And have it be much more diverse. Like I said earlier, the how of that is a challenge.
Right. And so then the other side that we haven't really addressed just right now is about women. And as far as I know, there are no avenues for other avenues for women to play baseball. You know, they maybe somebody who's really, really high level softball player could join the other leagues. But in terms of playing baseball, this was supposed to be the place. And we're battling against a cultural designation that women don't play baseball. So that's, you know, that's something kind of radical that we're going against. But that was one of the right away when we were talking about this, when we had the pickup games, there was always the intention of trying to recruit women to play baseball.
Absolutely.
And in some ways, I feel like the league has, the People's Baseball League has done better about diversity in terms of ethnicity, race, than it has done about diversity of gender.
Yeah.
So that's another factor. And so I think that we're starting to deal with, like, you know, a lot of deeper cultural things here. But
right.
I think that in terms of that balance about the love of the game versus the competition, that one place that I feel like has really fallen victim to that the current balance is women feeling able to play baseball. Because I know several women that started out playing 2 years ago who don't play anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And these were women who practiced, who, you know, were into the game, were like taking it seriously, all that stuff. And it just sort of, and kind of left them behind.
Yeah, totally. Well, cool. Thank you for, this has been a very honest conversation. I feel like really giving me a critique of the league, and I think it's healthy for the league. I hope Nick Schmidt feels the same way. But I guess like going back to the manifesto, do you, now that some years have passed, do you like it as is, or would you make any changes to it? How do you feel about it now?
Great question. I do like it. I do feel it's still sort of a call to action for people to play baseball. And, you know, I think that given the critique I've just given and given the trajectory it's gone on, perhaps I might have been more explicit about that, trying to find that balance. But it's a hard thing to nail down. It's a hard thing to this is a really ineffable thing. But like I said before, unless it's a priority – then it's not going to happen. That's going to fall by the wayside. And so, yeah, maybe I would have tried to put something more explicit into it. It just, that seems so far away in winter 2017. just getting people on the field was the big hurdle.
Right.
So in terms of how, you know, writing is incantation and you know, how words can make something real. It was effective in getting people on the field. I didn't make it explicit about what they should do when they got on the field and how they should approach it and all that stuff. And of course, you know, writing has its limits, but maybe I should have put something about that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And you know, I want to just say, in closing, I'm a huge fan of the People's Baseball League and, you know, have a ton of love for it. I'm thrilled that it exists. And, you know, I feel like if I'm not going to say this stuff, then who is? Yeah, in terms of taking this forward, I've done a fairly cutting critique of the league at this time. And very much out of a place of love for the league. But in trying to move forward, and talking about solutions and talking about and getting a sense of your side of this. So if it's all right, I'd love to actually interview you for a minute.
Yes.
And so great. So my first question is, you and I were talking about this in terms of this balance between the spirit of competition and the love of the game. We were talking about this 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago. So my first question for you is, you served as commissioner of the league for the first couple of years.
Yeah.
And were there things that you tried to do while you were a commissioner in terms of finding striking this balance?
Sort of, I'd say. First of all, thank you for having me on the program.
Yeah, how does it feel now that the table's been turned?
A little different.
Yeah,
you have an answer.
Now you got to come up with answers.
Yeah, right. In some ways, it's easier just to ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. Sort of. So, like, things that I would do was sort of trying to infuse a New Orleans spirit into the league, and like sort of having it be this New Orleans thing. So, some examples of that would be like our All-Star game, when we would have the costume run, and you know, the wildest one was we had the costume run. We had Fifth Ward Weavy, rest in peace, throughout the opening pitch, and we had a dance troupe, and like just sort of incorporating that into the league to get other groups out there, also like not just baseball players, but like just to get it, make it a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say more than anything else, I just observed it happening and thought about, try to think of ways to make it less competitive and more inclusive, and I don't think I ever really came up with a solution for that.
Right, right. I mean, I remember, as we touched on earlier, I remember at the from the outset, we were instructing people, like we were instructing pitchers to try to pitch to the level of the batter. But beyond that, I don't know that we ever really instituted anything.
Also, I think that's really hard to do. It's not
right.
That's like not an easy thing to do.
Right, but at least
it can be done.
At least we were that was a way we were trying to remind people about sort of the spirit of it. So
also, I want to say to anyone who hears this, if you ever got a hit off of me, it's because I was pitching the contact.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. So. Yeah, I totally get that about the spirit of New Orleans itself is very much on the lines of what we're talking about here, about, you know, like the love of just doing something, the being together, the appreciation
right.
for the moment, for the festivity of it, for
yeah,
the
being outside,
the
yeah.
process, yeah, rather than the outcome. You know, New Orleans is very much a process-oriented place rather than outcome-based.
Yes.
So, okay, so you thought about it while you were commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
And is this something that that you've had conversations about over time with people involved in the league?
Yeah, but so not really in a formal sense. Although, like, at that time, formal was a meeting at Powell's. That's, I guess,
right.
almost we got.
But
right. more of just observations and just mentioning it to people, having conversations with people like, oh, wow, the league's getting more competitive. But also enjoying that. Like,
right.
I really liked that. Still do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I did feel this, especially when I was commissioner, this internal where I was torn, where I felt like for the league, I didn't think it was the healthiest thing. Like, I thought there was a problem, like, if this continues. But also, as I mentioned earlier, on a personal level, love it, still do. I love the level that it's at right now.
Right. Having good, clean baseball.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Goes along with a higher level of competition. I think everyone likes that. So,
yeah.
The question is, is there a way to have both?
I know. That's like, in an ideal world, we have it all. We have a league that is ethnically, racially, gender diverse. and everyone's playing at this fun, competitive level and not taking themselves too seriously.
Right.
That would be a beautiful, amazing world. Right.
Right.
Is that possible? Is that available? I don't know, but I think the manifesto strives for that. I think that we should continue to strive for that and look for ways to try to make that happen, at least improve what we have right now. I think we've done that in the beginning. We've been improving, and we just need to continue to improve.
Right. Right. So in terms of solutions, the only thing that occurs to me, and this isn't really a solution, but the only thing that occurs to me is that unless this is something that's talked about around the league and in people's minds, then it's not going to happen. Like, that's a prerequisite for anything, is that this is something that's important, that it's important to the people in the league and the people who run the league that this is not an ultra-competitive baseball league, that it's competition at the expense of everything else. Now, I don't know how much buy-in we have about that. You know, I don't know where people, like, maybe that's not what people want.
Right.
I mean, do you have any sense of that?
I don't think on a large scale. I don't think the 100-plus players in the league want that. I think they want what we have right now.
Right.
But I think that there are some that would also like an alternative game. Like we had discussed earlier, a pickup game that is played with the intent to honor the game of baseball, but also to be really fun. And where the next week you come out and you're playing on a different side, or there's no, like, not keeping a record, keeping
right.
a score, but not necessarily a record. I think if that was available as well, I think you'd get a different audience, and I think you could satisfy a bit of what we're missing.
Okay, so flesh that out for me. This alternate game. Tell me a little bit more about this.
Okay, so it's essentially what we did in the very beginning. It's
mm-hmm.
And it's what we're doing right now. What we were doing with spring training game. It's just anyone shows up. It is a 9-inning game. We are keeping score loosely, but we are keeping score.
Mm-hmm.
And you get put on a side, and then we have a way of doing that, the glove toss.
Mm-hmm.
And you play your 9 innings of ball, and then we do it again the next week, but you're not on a set team.
Mm-hmm.
There's no record. It's really just getting back to, like, I'm there to play. And what's cool about it is you could be at an entry level and just come for a couple innings and feel it out, or you can work on that new pitch that you've been trying to do or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It could just be, I think, taking away the record, taking away playoffs and things like that, and it's just this pickup game will reduce the competition and will be more inclusive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I know that there have been some sort of, like, alternative outgrowths that have come from out of the league, like in terms of that traveling team you guys have done a little bit with. There's a scrimmage between the league and the Jungle Ball League. Maybe this is just another outgrowth that comes out of it, is like this this pickup thing that happens.
Yeah, more baseball. Let's just have more of it. So a pickup game, scrimmage against the Jungle Ball League. I think we should reach out to the Latin American League and try to have some kind of scrimmage with them as well. And yeah, I think those are all tangible things that we can absolutely do.
Yeah, build bridges and just provide something different.
Yeah.
So yes, I think that's probably a good thing. I know that there's some people who started out with the league, who women and men, who fall, like, you know, you said, I said, like, this thing about, do we have buy-in? Do people in the league want this? I think you may be right, that the 100 people who are playing, that they want exactly what we have. But then there's other people who maybe don't show up as much or who have dropped out of the league altogether who might want exactly what you're proposing.
Yeah. Yeah, who would come back. People who have left who might come back. And maybe people who've come out and saw us too competitive and that really this alternative game is what they're looking for. And I think the People's Baseball League can do that. I think we can offer multiple experiences.
Mm-hmm. So, and then another question is about this sort of dialogue, about how to have a dialogue about whether what people think about this. One idea that I had was to have something like a competition committee, in terms of people whose goal it is to talk about the spirit of the league and how that balance is being struck. And so that's another idea. Has there ever been anything kind of like that?
No, when I stepped down from commissioner, I did want to appoint myself to a position I was going to call the ambassador of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I went the league historian route instead, but I still am interested in that. But no, to answer your question.
Got it. So the ambassador of fun would be, tell me about the ambassador of fun.
Well,
what their role would be.
Infusing the New Orleans spirit into the league through various means. I know Nick Schmidt's not a big fan of this. He just wants the 9 innings of ball, and I respect that, which I haven't really appreciated this, but like having sort of these fun games. I think what we do so well is party and play baseball at the same time,
mm-hmm.
in a New Orleans sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of want to explore that further, and because it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure what that would look like, but in the past it's been costumes and dance groups and just a bunch of silliness.
Mm-hmm. Right. I can see how just infusing that into the league, that aspect of it would help to have people not take it too seriously.
Exactly. That was right. It wasn't just the show of it, but it's also like it kind of, I don't know, a mirror or something has this effect of where people are less serious. And wow, this is coming back to me now. I've always wanted, you asked me about ideas when it gets too competitive. I did have an idea, and I still feel good about this. If we identify someone as being too competitive, I think that they should have to wear a tutu.
That's great. Yeah.
And if you don't want to wear the tutu, then I think, well, this is the wrong league for you. So,
yeah.
Or some kind of costume, something that just takes off, you know, the edge.
Yeah, it's hard to take.
And you can still play in a tutu. I've done it.
It's hard to take things too serious if you're wearing a tutu.
Right.
I would think.
Just go ahead and continue being serious and let us all take in the joy of you being serious while we're in a tutu.
Right. Yeah, so anyway, I think that's probably an important and valid role that I don't know if anyone else is taking on right now. That ambassador of fun and someone to sort of to be responsible for that, of making sure that one of the priorities of the league is just the fun of it, the joy of it, et cetera.
Yeah.
Are there any other ideas that you've had that you don't think are good ideas? Has anything else occurred to you about this?
No, I'll just say that it's something I identified early on. I've meditated on it a lot, and for the most part, just come back to it's kind of the league is its own organism, and it's kind of gone and taken on a life of its own, and there's only so much I could control when I was commissioner, and but also being really satisfied with where we're at.
So that's my questions for you.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts you have? Anything
yeah,
I
just,
didn't ask you?
No. Yeah, so I just think I think part of the success of this league is conversations like this that have been happening continuously since it's begun, and people constantly looking for improvement and talking about improvement, and that is just a sign of health in any organization.
Mm-hmm.
And also just shows like how many people are invested in the league already. And that's why we're where we're at. Is that a lot of people are thinking of these things and various things in the league and how to improve it and contributing in so many ways. So I just hope that we continue doing that.
Yeah.